Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Kate, she said we were leaving.
Not leaving, no. Moving on. Where are we going?
Let's go find out.
Well, that's how it ended last night for a series that has captivated many in America. Lost, ABC's television program that was a phenomenon in and of itself, ended, and many said, well, that's appropriate. But it was a bizarre experience while it lasted. We're going to be talking about the television series Lost and its series finale. Robert Velarde joins us. For the first half hour of this Tuesday afternoon's Issues Etc., it's May 25th. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. A little bit later in this first hour, we'll talk about 8th century priest, monk, scholar, and historian Venerable Bede. It's an interesting name, but he is supposed to account for the English history of Christianity rather well in the 8th century. Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us to talk about a pro-abortion television commercial that's running in Great Britain. It doesn't actually mention abortion, but it certainly promises abortion. Dr. Stephen Hine will begin today with us a three-part daily series on man's failed attempt to reach God. Today we'll talk about the first attempt man makes, moralism. Dr. Stephen Hine of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies will be our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, talkback at issuesetc.org, or if you'd like to leave your thoughts on the series finale of Lost at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Robert Velarde is our guest. He's completing graduate studies at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's author of a cover story for the Christian Research Journal titled The Gospel According to Lost. Robert, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Always great to be on.
Well, the series ended Sunday night, and I wondered, looking back on it, what major themes came to the fore in those many seasons of Lost? What major themes were there?
Well, that's a great question, and I think that has in part to do with the success of the program. Lost, I think, tapped into so many interesting themes. You know, there was this struggle for good and evil. It's about love. It's about journey of life and the meaning of life. This sort of concept that, you know, we're not in it alone. We're all human beings. We're in it together trying to get through life and figure things out. The reality that evil exists, I think, was a major theme of the show. And also redemption, the fact that so many of these characters, in fact, all of them in the show, had so many issues to work through, I think made these show appealing on a thematic level and also helped them to delve into a lot of philosophical and even religious issues.
So take us back, if you would, to the premise of the show and the plot as it unfolded over those several seasons.
Sure. The basic premise is fairly simple, actually. A group of people crash land. You know, the airplane crashes on this island in the remote Pacific, and this diverse group of strangers from all kinds of different walks of life sort of suddenly find themselves together trying to figure out where they are on this mysterious island. And as the story develops, the characters develop through flashbacks and other techniques that the writers utilize. And we sort of get glimpses into the lives of these people and how they grow as individuals, not always positively, sometimes negatively, but we see them change and encounter different challenges and really had quite a period of growth for some of these characters over the years.
Is God an explicit theme in Lost and its whole way of looking at the world?
I wouldn't say it's so much overt as it is sort of a theme of spirituality. There were certain exceptions in some of the seasons where some characters were very overt, I think, in their Christian faith, their Catholic faith. You know, Mr. Echo comes to mind, a character from some seasons back, different characters like that. There's a character named Rose who at one point tells another character, you know, he's got to have faith in God. And even one episode was sort of structured around the 23rd Psalm that was even read at the end of that episode. So I think it certainly varies. You know, along with that, you've got some other strange things like a psychic, and you've got different energy centers in different places. And so you've kind of got a mix of almost New Age ideas with some Christian elements. And I think leading up to this series finale, you even had some other suggestions of this diversity of religious belief that Lost tried to present. And the problem, of course, that comes in there is you end up sort of watering down, I think, some of the key beliefs of some of these religions that they tried to discuss.
What explicitly spiritual elements did you find in Sunday night's series finale?
Well, I think the most clear depiction of that would be near the end where the characters discover they've essentially been on this journey to the afterlife. And there's a particular scene near the end where there's a variety of religious elements all brought together in this church. So you've got the Christian cross, you've got the Tai Chi Tu, which is known as the yin-yang symbol of Taoism, and some other things. You know, it's almost like this, you know, Baha'i sort of room. You know, the Baha'i believe that all religions are essentially the same, and it really, you know, in the end, it sort of ends up like this religious pluralism, meaning that, you know, it doesn't really matter specifically what one believes religiously as long as one believes something, and then you're all going to end up in some sort of heaven or afterlife anyway. So there were suggestions of that I think were a bit troublesome. Interestingly, though, there was one character named Ben, who sort of the villain of the series for quite a bit of time, who did not enter this afterlife. He decided that he wasn't ready to go there. So, you know, it's somewhat open to interpretation. You know, is this character going to go to hell? Is he in sort of a purgatory state? Can he get to heaven eventually if he wants to? And a lot of it was not explicit. You know, it was far more of an emotional program, I think, the finale, than it was an intellectual assessment of some of these questions.
So just kind of a simple question, I guess. Given the way that the writers and the producers ended the entire series, was the whole experience there on the island by these individuals kind of their entrance into the afterlife? All those experiences were kind of part of that preparation for this, you know, kind of vague afterlife that was presented at the end?
Yeah, I think that's one of the big debates that's coming out of, you know, the diehard fans of the series and writers that have been discussing it. You know, there's quite a bit of polarization at this point as to, you know, what exactly the meaning of their experiences on the island were. You know, I think the consensus, if there might even be one, is probably that these experiences they had on the island were real. They were in the real world. They really happened. They helped these characters develop for better or for worse, you know, some of them leading to redemption. And what was called in the final season the Sideways World was sort of a purgatorial type of place that characters went to after they died, where they maybe had to work out further issues before moving on to sort of a next phase. So there's certainly a bit of confusion going on there, and I think part of the draw of the show was that mystery that we didn't always exactly know what was happening.
What kind of a moral framework did Lost present within its own world about a minute and a half before our first break?
Sure. I think Lost is to be applauded in that area. They at least did not go down the road of relativism, saying that morality doesn't matter. I think Lost presented a moral world where right and wrong do exist, and characters and their decisions, you know, really do shape their character and help them become better or worse individuals. And I think for that, you know, Law certainly avoided some of the pitfalls of other moral theories that neglect the reality of right and wrong.
Did the ending deal with the eternal moral consequences of someone's life or action?
Not really. You know, it was fairly vague. Other than the Ben character who did not enter this next stage of the afterlife, the rest of them all seemed to get there. It wasn't so much, well, we need a savior, we need a particular religion to save us. We can do it as a community was more of the message, if we can help each other along to become enlightened.
Robert Velarde is our guest. It's Tuesday afternoon, May the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the series finale of the ABC television program Lost. Robert is completing graduate studies at Southern Evangelical Seminary, and he's author of the cover story for the Christian Research Journal titled The Gospel According to Lost. More with him and your questions and comments on the other side of the break, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. What did you think of the series finale of Lost? 877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc, or leave your answer to that question at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. 10 more minutes with Robert Velarde. Then Pastor Will Whedon will join us. We'll go back to the 8th century to talk about a priest, a monk, and an historian, Venerable Bede, Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. In the second hour of the program, we'll start out with Jennifer Roback Morse talking about pro-abortion television commercial that's running in Great Britain, first one ever. And then we'll talk about moralism, one of man's failed attempts to reach God, with Dr. Stephen Hine.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Tuesday afternoon, May the 25th. Robert Velarde is our guest. We're talking about the series finale of the ABC television program Lost. Frank in North Carolina says this, Robert: I liked it, and I wasn't at all bothered by the many paths to heaven. through a passing test or a sacrifice for others that was so prevalent in the ending. If I want spirituality, I don't watch Lost, but rather head to my grandfather's church where more objective truths are front and center. I do find it amusing, writes Frank, that there are people on message boards who wanted a 100% sci-fi ending and are greatly displeased with the more spiritual ending, even though spirituality and the struggle between good and evil had been an integral part of the show since the very first episode. Your thoughts there?
Well, there's many points there to comment on, and thank you for sending those in. I think it was far more of a spiritual ending than the hard science ending, I think, that some fans were wanting to get there. I think in the earlier seasons, Lost was certainly pitting faith and science against one another, particularly through these characters, Jack and Locke, who were integral to the series. You know, at one point, the character, says, why do you find it so hard to believe, is what Locke says. And Jack replies, why do you find it so easy? And Locke's response is, it's never been easy. You know, so they really did, I think, highlight the struggle between faith and reason and faith and science. And I think in the end, the writers of the show probably saw a more powerful emotional ending dealing with the spirituality. Now, as far as the many paths to heaven thing, well, you know, certainly that depends on your perspective as a Christian or non-Christian or what particular variety of Christian you are as to whether or not that would bother you. You know, if you're a Christian exclusivist, you would see, Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and that pretty much settles it as far as how do you get to an afterlife in heaven. The many paths perspective certainly, I think, resonates with a broader section of the population, but it's certainly not a biblical perspective.
Brady in Wisconsin writes this, I enjoyed the finale, loved the drama, and watched every episode of all seasons. Yet I'm disturbed on many levels about the influence of potential problems of people's understanding of faith. Lost ended with a theology that promoted universalism, deism, and even a weird form of purgatory. I'm appalled and scared by this due to the show's popularity and how when people drink the Kool-Aid, it begins to be part of their ideology. We need to saturate our churches and community with the truths of faith, with shows like Lost, so that we don't let it become a source of questions or denial of the faith. Your thoughts, Robert?
Well, certainly we do need to be discerning. You know, biblically we're told to examine and test all things and hold to that which is good. And I think we certainly need to apply that to television programs. You know, as far as the extent of influence that a program like Lost might have on someone's spiritual journey or life, you know, it really depends on the individual watching. You know, I think in some ways, it's just a TV show. You know, it may have elements of a parable, you know, for life there. And certainly some of the things it would present and teach are not in line with Christianity. But I think we, as Christians, need to deal with television and its influence a bit more carefully, I might say. Maybe looking at, sure, it's just a show, and maybe it's not, lining up with our particular volumes of systematic theology that we like the best. But what elements of it can we draw from that might help us to discuss Christianity and Christian truth with others? And I think there are some things in Lost that we can grasp onto in that way. You know, Lost is a show where everyone is flawed in it, and I think that certainly relates to the Christian view of human depravity. Lost, particularly in its final season and in the series finale, was very much about community, about helping each other along the journey, that we can't go it alone, or at least God doesn't intend us to go it alone. And certainly that applies to God's body, the body of Christ, the church, and how we need to be a part of that as a community. I think where there's a stumbling block here is where Lost centers on salvation as a self-based thing rather than a savior-based thing.
Renee in Birmingham, Alabama says, Lost was the best television series ever made if you remove the church scene at the end of the finale and make up your own science fiction ending. I watched it to be entertained. I enjoyed that it was a complex drama, and I'm not surprised by the ending, just a little disappointed.
Well, it's so hard to live up to expectations when you have such a big show and the writers here are trying to give a good ending to it. And like I said, I think they really went far more for the emotional aspects. You had a lot of characters reunited, a lot of characters having these moments of enlightenment where they remember their island lives together, whereas in this so-called sideways world, they really didn't know that. You know, as far as how they could have ended it, you know, there's so many different ways a show could do that. And I thought it was interesting. It certainly wasn't, you know, in line there with my Christian theology. But, you know, I do appreciate that they at least delved into these spiritual themes and issues, given the rise of, you know, modern atheism and the antagonism of atheism to Christianity. It's kind of refreshing, I think, to see a show actually acknowledge the reality of spirituality, even if we can't agree on all the points of how they discuss that.
Denise says, I wish they weren't dead. I thought it was really dramatic how they would touch one another and remember their past. I would like to see them move on alive. What was the island, though? I heard that the sideways flashbacks in L.A. were purgatory. Was the island purgatory? Was Ben not ready to go? He sat outside the church and didn't go back in. Still a ton of questions, says Denise. There are a ton of questions, aren't there, Robert?
Yeah, that was one thing that, you know, the creators of the show, I don't think, ever planned to answer everything. There's certainly a number of mysteries still left out there, not the least of which would be things like, well, what does this series of numbers mean? You know, they had some numerology issues on early in the series. As far as the purgatory issue, you know, I think our base of understanding for that would be the Roman Catholic perspective of purgatory, which is really just for people who are saved. You know, Christians in Catholic theology would go to purgatory and there have to be cleansed in some way or purged of their sins before they could move on. And certainly that was not the vision of purgatory that Lost presented. It was more of a, well, you know, you've died, you've moved on, but you haven't quite moved on to where you're supposed to be. So you're sort of in this in-between place. So there's certainly that purgatorial element going on there. And I would think it was more just a creative license for storytelling to make it more interesting and keep people guessing as to what was happening this final season.
Deborah says, the writers got lost when writing the Lost ending. At the beginning of season 6, I knew that they weren't going to be able to call it a wrap-up. Too many loose ends. 6 years worth of my life. I will never watch another series again, says Deborah. Your thoughts there, Robert?
Well, you know, certainly they did have a lot of loose ends, and I think at least for the first couple of seasons, they probably did not have a good story arc as to how far this might end up. I think, you know, after they decided to end the series at 6 seasons, they probably, you know, tried to scramble to sort of fit things together and make things work. And, you know, certainly quite an accomplishment with so many people working on a program like that to get it to, you know, be a complete cohesive whole. And, you know, there are, you know, flaws in that process. But, you know, overall, it was a, you know, quite a fascinating experience that brought up issues of philosophy and theology and free will and determinism and good and evil and just a number of topics there that Christians can latch onto and use as opportunities to discuss Christian truth.
Finally, then, talk about the theme of redemption in this series, where it succeeded and where it fell short by a Christian standard. About a minute and a half.
Sure. Well, redemption, of course, we have characters grappling with their guilt and other issues. You know, I think that was the major draw in the early seasons. What is wrong with these characters? What have they done, and are they at the point where they know they've done something that requires redemption, and how do they solve that problem? And, you know, redemption and Lost, I think, as I've said, is most often self-based rather than savior-based, and I think that was its biggest flaw. It was more of a humanist form of improvement rather than the Christian reliance on Christ as savior. And, you know, the community elements in the final season were interesting. But even then, you know, we can't get saved as a group. It's an individual thing that we need to deal with ourselves, not, you know, on a works-based system, but through faith in Christ.
Robert Velarde is completing graduate studies at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's author of a cover story for the Christian Research Journal titled The Gospel According to Lost. You can read this article under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Robert, before we let you go, when is your new book, The Wisdom of Pixar, coming out?
That book will be out June 4th, just in time for Toy Story 3 that hits theaters June 18th. I had a lot of fun writing The Wisdom of Pixar, and I hope people will look forward to it.
And we'll have you back on to talk about it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back from this break, He has a funny name, and if you've read in the Church Fathers at all, especially from the mid-centuries of church history, you've run across it. He's a giant, the Venerable Bede. Bede, St. Bede sometimes called. An historian, a monk, and English. We will be talking about the Venerable Bede and his contribution to church history, to the life of the church. When we come back, Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, will be our guest on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 25th. In the second hour of the program, there's an ad running in Great Britain that some say promotes abortion. It doesn't say abortion. It doesn't even mention abortion. It simply says, if you think you're pregnant, we can help. And of course, the we is the abortionists in Great Britain. Summer outrage. It's the first pro-abortion ad running in Great Britain. We'll see what CBS News has to say about it and what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse has to say about this pro-abortion TV commercial in Great Britain. That's in the second hour. And we'll kick up our three-part daily series with Dr. Stephen Hine on man's failed attempts to reach God. We'll start today with moralism. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Gallup is one of the most respected polling firms in America. For the third consecutive time, they've done a poll on abortion and found more people are pro-life than pro-abortion. It suggests real change in public opinion on abortion. I'm telling you this because it's important to know you're in the majority. Most people agree with you if you think unborn babies should be protected from abortion. So don't be shy about expressing your pro-life beliefs. Let the love of Christ be your motivation and be bold in being an ambassador for unborn babies. The change in opinion didn't happen by accident. It's fruit of the labors of pro-life organizations like Life Issues Institute. Over the years, we've strived to be the window to the womb, and by God's grace, we're succeeding.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.